different categories. There you go. So, so Al Bala approached me about a month ago, and he asked me if I had ever read the book, The Science of Getting Rich. Al and I are both avid book readers, so we tend to exchange suggestions back and forth. In fact, he's over in Europe, and he posted his reading materials. He's flying first class coming back to the United States, and he took a picture of his reading materials for his flight back. And guess what they were? All Paula Pritchard stuff. So I started laughing. I sent him back a note saying, it's about time you read some worthy materials. So, as you guys know, I love her stuff, and I'm really implementing that in across the board in my organization and working on a lot of new materials to share with everybody, as well as working with Manatech and putting together a business presentation kind of really focused on what she suggests. I mean, when people become millionaires three times over or something in different network marketing companies, and they're just, you know, have great, great ideas, but businesswoman going after a PhD who ended up in network marketing, so I guess I have some, you know, a natural affinity towards her because of her educational background, but what a blessing she's been to me, and I'm glad to see Al's reading it. But anyway, Al gave me this book, or he didn't, he gave me this suggestion. So I got the book on my iPad, and I read it when I was traveling this week, and I want to promise you one thing. As I started reading it, I almost concluded that I wasn't going to do the training on it, because there were some things in there that are not consistent with my spiritual walk. And then I said to myself, well, Mary Jo, my spiritual walk is my personal commitment, right? And I don't think that I should in any way try to, say that I can't do this book when there's so much good material in the book. There are just certain passages and things that were stated in there. Maybe I found a half dozen specific statements that I totally disagree with, okay? But nonetheless, the majority of the book, which if I can take six passages that I disagree with and then I can weigh the rest of it, the majority of the content was very, very good. And it really, so I decided to move ahead, and I wanted to premise this call based on that, so people aren't sitting back going, I can't believe Mary Jo believe, you know, because I will suggest to you some of the, or I think I highlight a couple of the things right out of the box of what I don't agree with, because I'm not a prosperity preacher, I'm not a prosperity Christian, I don't come from the perspective that God, you know, wants all of us to be rich. I don't. Especially when that rich connotation means money, money, money. That I don't think that is what is in alignment with. That's not my spiritual belief. Now, that may be yours, and that's fine. I mean, that's your choice. There can be a lot of pastures. There can be a lot of passageways, pastures. There can be a lot of passageways in Scripture, verses in Scripture that you could interpret to suggest that, undeniably. But there, to me, that the richness and the abundance, John 1:11, I think that's it. The passageways that I read into it, when he talks about abundance, he's talking about our abundance from a spiritual perspective, from a concept of overall abundant living, and people who have no money can be very abundant in their thinking and in their living. It's just a different kind of abundance. It's an abundance of soul. It's abundance of love. It's an abundance of, you know, of just having a Christ-like walk. So enough of that premising, just so you know. So but the substance of the book was so good that I really wanted to share it with you. So, because I think it can help you, and there's so much alignment with other things that we've talked about, things that you know are truths. So we're going to work on those and outline that for you, so you can look at this, and maybe there are ways you can shift your life. It clearly is operating on me already. In my coaching call this morning, I already started bringing up shifts. Because of languaging I was hearing, and I was able to shift with my person I was coaching in terms of how to language better. That's going to be more effective for her, because I really want to be the best I can be so I can help others be the best they can be. So let's kick off and talk about the science of getting rich. And the introduction said, and there's a great concept that we need, is a fundamental concept. There is a thinking stuff from which all things are made. Okay, and I'll get into the thinking stuff in a minute, and which in its original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the inner spaces of the universe. A thought in this substance produces the thing that is imaged by the thought. So let's go back and talk about this thinking stuff. I don't want to get too, you know, some of you will go, Mary Jo, this is way over my pay level. This is, outside my box. The reality is that we know this as a truth from many sources. How many of you read like the Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so is he. We put thoughts in the universe and they are created. Quantum think, if you've been familiar with Diane Collins' work, she is totally all in. She understands the physiology, psychology of all of this kind of this thinking, the power of man's thoughts is so what we create. Some of you are associated with Brian Klemmer, and you've gone to some of his tremendous work, Christian-based coaching that he does and self-development work, and his underlying premise of his entire work, product, over the last 20 years is to think is to create. Okay, that's his premise. If you had to pull out one premise of Brian Klemmer, it's to think is to create. The power of positive thinking. How many books have you read about that? There's zillions of them. Napoleon Hill, he did Think and Grow Rich, right? I mean, all of this. So there's massive amount of literature, philosophers, great thinkers, personal development, Christian people that are behind this concept. And we understand it to be a truth that we have a lot of power in our thought process. And it's the thinking stuff as we put it out in the universe that becomes creative. It's a creative source for us to create things as we think. And it works both ways. It works in a creative positive way, and it also works in a creative negative way. It's one of the reasons, how about health-wise? And this is one of the things I work with people. When I work with people, whether they have a glioblastoma, or they have cancer, another kind of cancer, or they have any kind of autoimmune condition, whatever their disease condition might be, if they come into my pathway and I'm working with them with a prospect of potentially adding great nutrition to their daily walk, I always talk to them about their belief system being more important than anything I can do physiologically for them is their belief system that they truly believe, because the power of the mind is unquestionable, undeniable. And so we always work with the positive power of thinking. So that's just basically the behind this science of getting rich, that it starts with our thinking stuff. It talks about how our thoughts are, and our thoughts produce results because it's the power of thought. So the underlying premise of his book is that no man can rise to his greatest possible height in talent or soul development unless he has plenty of money. Now, I tend to disagree with that. I don't fully agree with that concept. Now, some people say, well, where do you get that? And I go, well, you can think about people who are almost sworn to poverty in their life, Mother Teresa. But then you can argue the point that how did Mother Teresa accomplish everything she did accomplish? Because she raised millions of dollars. She didn't have money, but she had the capacity to get contributions from people, millions of dollars created. So when you look at the great, philosophers out there, biblical or spiritual leaders, you look like Billy Graham, that his organization has raised billions of dollars over the years. I mean, this is one of the reasons they've been able to be so effective is they had endless resources. You can look at all these things. So there is some concept out there with the more resources you have, perhaps you can have a greater outreach because you have the capacity to do so. But I don't necessarily think that we can't get to an incredible height or develop our souls without tons of money. So to me, it's one of those principles that isn't consistent with how I think, but it's not invalid for you to think that way. I'm not judging you around it. It's just not mine. I'm not a prosperity preacher like Joel Osteen is a major prosperity preacher here in Texas, and he's all about God wants you to be rich, okay? And who else is behind that? Who wrote the book, God Wants You to Be Rich? Paul Zane Pilser wrote that book. But again, I think that there are a lot of great truths behind the concept, but I don't think inherently that God's main desire was to make you rich, right? That's not what he was proposing, and that's not what he's a proponent of. Rich in a very different way. But you can look at another way of looking at this is we live for three major motives. We live for the body, okay, that's our health and how we take care of a physical body. We have our mind, which is our mental state, our capacity, our mental growth, That's why we teach and train and educate ourselves, why Mary Jo believes in green and growing, right? I'm the big person that continuously emphasizes the importance of green and growing instead of ripe and rotting. So we continue to expand our mind and feed it. And then there becomes the soul. That's our love, our faith, you know, the heart, who we are, what makes us complete. All of that is in our soul. So, and he says in the book, he says, all are very important. If any one of them is cut off, a person cannot fully live. And I agree with that. I need the fullness of life is about mind, body, soul, right? In fact, there's a lot of healers out there that are all about mind, body, soul. That's their healing process is about incorporating all three. And we in Manatech tend to focus on the body with our incredible beneficial nutrients that we've been blessed with. But he said, poverty can truly deny full expression of these. And I have to agree with that. I think that it's kind of like the hierarchy of needs when people are totally poor and all they can focus on is getting a loaf of bread on the table. Number one, they're probably not even taking care of their body well, as I see a lot of poor people that tend to eat at McDonald's, fast foods. They eat the cheapest food out there, and we know we have pathetic foods in the supermarkets, and the cheapest ones are the most pathetic. So we have a problem with that. Yeah, so I think lack of funds can truly endanger any of those levels. And we can see the soul and a spiritual walk is harmed in many times with people when they feel like, well, God doesn't love me because why would he cause me to be in this plight? I call that victim mentality. I don't call it God's problem. I call it your problem. But it's a truly a thought process that goes through many people's heads. That why has God forsaken me? Well, God doesn't forsake you, right? But the intriguing thing is that we truly can have some issues. We don't get education. You know, we look at the course of our world and we say, you know, I can't but help but bring back what happened during the, you know, and you may agree with it or not, but I think the thought of politically saying you don't get to go to college, post-high school education, unless your father, unless you've come from a family with great money, who can afford it. I think there's something inherently wrong with that. If we're going to be a society of equal opportunity, we must present ourselves with ways of making sure our opportunities are equal. But poverty can deny full expression of those things. So there is a truth to that. But does that mean you have to be rich? That's another extent of that. And the other premise he has in there is you can render to God and humanity no greater service than to make the most of yourself. Now that, I will agree. But in the process, the focus is not on yourself. The focus is on others. We can make the most of ourselves by being of greatest service to humanity and to God. So I would just state it differently, if that makes some sense to you. We can make the most of ourselves when we are of greatest service to God and to humanity. That would be my statement, okay? So just a little different. So anyway, so enough of that concept. Let's go and look through what is it that causes somebody to be rich versus not rich? Because my preference for me, the reason I want to be rich, the reason I want to be filled rich in number one in spirit, and my love of the Lord, my walk and my faith, that's my number one, always number one, and I want that to be as rich as possible. I also want to be financially well off because I want, you know, I make commitments out there. My current one is, as I expressed on the road this week, was my current vision is 12 churches in Brazil, to build 12 churches in Brazil. And it has a tremendous emotional buzz for me because I know those people. I've been walking the streets of Brazil for 4 years now. Fifth one will be this summer, helping lead people to Christ, and they have no building, and they desperately would like one, and I would love to be part of that fulfillment for them because I have the resources to do it and the capacity. So yes, Lord, I want the Lord to bless me with endless funds so I can continue on that path as well. So yeah, so but if it is a result of owning money, is a result of having money and property, it's not a result of what you and I might want to believe it is. Of where we were raised, who we were born with, how much capital we had, whether we're smart, whether we have talents or not, all these things. You know, that's not true. The result of owning money and property comes as a result of doing things in a certain way. And notice how we capitalize that. That really comes out of the book. So now the idea is, what is that certain way? And so you want to put a box around that word certain way in your outline because now you're going to walk through and say, what is that certain way? And first of all, we need to really get clear that why some people become wealthy and others do not. If you look at the wealth of the world, you always can find that they're really an average lot of people, having no greater talents and abilities than other people do. In some instances they do, in others they don't. So you can't weigh it upon because they had ability, or they had the brains, or they had the opportunities, or they had the this, or they had the that. Getting rich is not due to saving, having capital, being in the right place at the right time, being in the right business, environment, education, etc. This is really clear. In fact, you can, if you don't understand this as an underlying premise, read Napoleon Hill's book one more time, Think and Grow Rich, right? What was the one determining factor he found on all the people? He was commissioned by Carnegie to go out and spend 20 years interviewing all the wealthy people around the world. And he was picked, Carnegie asked him, tell me, what is a trait that causes somebody and creates wealth in people? And the thing that he came back with was that the people that were wealthy had one similarity. All the rest was diverse from A to Z. And he said, they believed they would. They believed they would. They had that underlying belief that was unwavering belief. So if you just write that down on your thing, unwavering belief, how powerful was that? That's the whole premise of Napoleon Hill's book and his research he did, that it was the power of that unwavering belief. And then I worked on that book last year, not The Slight Edge, but the other Slight Edge book, okay? And I read through that one because that gentleman who wrote that book was the one who was like worked with Napoleon Hill. He was like the next generation of Napoleon Hill and carrying it out. How do we create that unwavering belief? What do we do? How do we implement that in our life and about daily behavioral patterns and having a vision and putting a tape together that we keep feeding our brain every day, all these concepts. They're over and over and repetitive. No matter who you read, you're going to get very similar information. And this book is no different. And we'll talk about some of the things that, the similarities that I saw as I read it as well. But, so it's not, it doesn't matter what environment you came from, what business, it's not about what business you choose, whether one gets rich and one doesn't get rich. But it is, if getting rich thus, because it's not, it's about doing things in a certain way, then truly any person can become rich. I believe that. I totally believe that. I think becoming wealthy is a choice we make as human beings and not a frivolous choice. It's not about sitting back and going, I choose to be wealthy, and then we don't live life a certain way to get there. It's about choosing an implementation of that choice without wavering, and that's what creates the wealth in our life. And it really, as he suggested, if it really is a result of doing things in a certain way, then any person can become rich, and the whole matter is within the domain of an exact science. So that's his premise. Opportunity is not monopolized. Wealth is unlimited, as is cash. Cash grows on trees. There's an abundance of opportunity for a man who will go with the tide instead of trying to swim against it. How many of us try to recreate the wheel? This is so true in Manatech as well, in any network marketing setting. You know, that's one of the opening premises. Don't go and recreate the wheel. Understand from the masters, from the mentors. Get mentored. Find a mentor that really has done it, that really can show you the way and pave the way for you, and just follow that mentor. Every time you go, well, I'm going to do it my way, you're right away shortcutting yourself. And it'll, or I shouldn't say, and you're not shortcutting the method of getting there. You're adding another 6 months to a year to 2 years to maybe perhaps never reaching that goal because you want to do it your way. So there's abundance of opportunity of the people that don't that run with the tide instead of trying to swim against it. Here's the terminology and the phrase that I highlighted in my outline, and I will put on my wall because this is where my heart is. And it says, the working class may become the master class whenever they begin to do things a certain way. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I love the thought of that. I can see that uprising, you know, just like the working class becomes the master class whenever they begin to do things a certain way. And I'm not dictating about class structure. I just love I'd love to have that revolution of people. And it doesn't have to be with guns. It's just with being smarter, just doing things in a more effective way, right? That's how kids get out of the slums and the ghettos and the less fortunate areas of the world whether it's the United States or other places, because they think differently. They do things a different way. They choose a certain way of thinking and approaching life that creates greatness around them. very much exposed to that at that National Convention of Professional Network Marketers. That was awesome. There's a guy there who found a way to get from Australia to the United States, and he became a multimillionaire because he did things a certain way. Every aspect of life is about advancement of life, always moving toward more and fuller functioning. Nature is all about extending boundaries, more life, more functionality. This is a truism about our environment we live in, and it's also true about us. So we need to see ourselves as that green and growing, advancing. If you don't believe me, just look at what we're driving today compared to what they were driving 100 years ago. Look at our technology today compared to 10 years ago, right? Look at these things, the advancements of how we keep advancing and advancing and advancing in every arena. And if you look at now, all I have to do is go out in my garden, people. You know, I'm starting to garden again. A lot of you might be doing the same thing. Since I began gardening 2 years ago, this is my third year now. I love it. So come, you know, January, February, March, I start my seeds, and in April, I start planting outside, you know, because I want to make sure I avoid the freezes. I know some of you are up north, so you're going, we still had a freeze just last week, right? But as I go out there, what's happening in my strawberry beds? They're twice the size they were last year. I didn't do anything different. It's about nature is all about extending boundaries. My blueberry bushes have doubled in size from 2 years ago when I first planted them. It's all about creating more life, more functionality, more growth. That's what everything's about. So we look at it, and that's every aspect of life is that way. So is our ability to grow in terms of our financial resources. Okay, so underlying premise. So let's go on. Man can form things in his thought by impressing his thought upon formless substance, right? And that's more about that thinking stuff. We're impressing our thought upon formless substance. That means we're thinking in the universe. We're thinking. We're taking our thoughts and we're saying, I got it, the power of my thinking, the power of positive thoughts, the power of thinking, putting in my head what I'm going to create, creating that vision. And remember Vince Pacenti. What did he say? He said he took the science of thought, and he said, you know, men create their most dominant thoughts. So how do we keep thinking a dominant thought? How many of you on this call have already got your gold dots up on your computer, on your iPhones, or on your bathroom mirror? How many of you really took Vince Pacenti to heart and believe that? I believe it. I know that. What becomes our dominant thought becomes a reality. When the Lord laid on my heart that I would have a foundation, that I would be writing a check for $1 million, I had no premise upon which to believe that was going to come true. I didn't have any clue where that was going to come from. But you know what? I totally believed it. So I started making a dominant thought about my foundation, what my foundation would look like, what it was going to be. And sure enough, 2 years later, I get a letter in the mail, a $20,000 stock investment I made in Jungle Labs in 1991. They were selling out to a publicly traded company in 2004, and my percentage of stock in the company yielded $1.1 million to me. Now, I didn't have any clue that that would ever transpire. How many of you made a $20,000 investment and it turned into $1.1 million, right? But the idea was it was a dominant thought. God let me know I was going to be writing a check for $1 million to change this world, to make it. He led me to start a foundation and conceptualize what it was going to be doing, and he helped me with formulating that. And sure enough, all of a sudden the certified letter came. Wow, that's a power, right? We can form things in thought, but it had to be a dominant thought. If I wouldn't have believed what God laid on my heart, whatever had happened, I will suggest not. I don't believe it would have happened. But I chose to make it a dominant thought. We can form things in our thought by impressing your thought upon formless substance can cause the thing he thinks about to be created. As a man thinketh, so is he, right? Man must pass from the competitive. Here's a very important part. I want you all to underline, circle this, and highlight this. It's very, very crucial that you get this point. To me, it stung home in a huge way, and I'll tell you why. Man must pass from the competitive to the creative mind. You see, when I was practicing law, I was in the competitive mind frame. I was climbing the corporate ladder. I was climbing ahead. I was trying to get the partner. I was, you know, just, it was dog eat dog. It was working as hard as I could. All that energy. Was I creating wealth for myself? Yes. But who was losing? See, we can work in a universe where we win and others lose. And I'm going to suggest that was happening in my life for years, and I didn't ever see it. I win, you lose. I win, you lose. Right? But if we want to really make it a win-win, which is what our goal should always be, we need to get into the creative mind, not the competitive mind. And it's so much more pleasant being in the creative mind instead of competitive. And this is what's so beautiful is that, you know, when you start analyzing this from a network marketing perspective, it's like perfect. When you start analyzing it from, you know, and not a network marketing that I jump from one network marketing company to the next, to the next, to the next, for therein lies the competitive spirit. You win, somebody else loses. But if you stay within the realm, like with Manatech and with a company that has the integrity Manatech has around a social cause, social entrepreneurship, saving children, all this whole concept, the wholeness of taking on a global cause of male nutrition in the world. This is what allows the creative mind. It allows us to create. Every step, it's a win-win-win. Everything we do is a win-win. I don't, when I make money off of somebody else, whatever that little bit is when I sign up a new person and I make some money off of that pack, the value that I've gotten to that person is far greater than anything I get in response, right? When you think about the value of life and the value of health and the value of saving a child from malnutrition, that all of that transpires in a transaction, which is so much greater than the income that comes into my pocket. So coming from the creative mind of creating greatness and creating more, and we're going to, if not in alliance with the spirit or God, I call God, if we're not in alliance with God, we become inherently competitive instead of creative. And our God, who's the greatest creator? The creator of the universe, which is God. He is the creator. And we're created in his likeness, so we too need to operate from a perspective of creation and creator. So we need to be from a creative mind frame. Competitors rob from each other. It is a win-lose scenario. I win, you lose, right? And that's what happens out in the model. And that's why we talk about that. Remember we talk about that. Here's a concept for you here that I didn't think of before. We talk about the blue ocean strategy, right? And how Manatech puts them in the blue ocean where we're not shark eating shark like what we see out there because of value innovation, because of the incredible science of glycobiology, because of, you know, our Give for Real program, all these things put us in this blue ocean where we're not sharky shark. So because we're in the creative mode, we have wonderful people, Rob Sinnott, who came up with these incredible discoveries, and of course we want to go back with McAnally and McDaniel and give them credit for the Ambertos discovery and construction of that product. But we, in a creative mode, when you win, everyone around will have more. And I think this is so cool, because as I was reading this in the book, I was like going, this is what Manatech is all about. So we're not like, and this is a great quote from the book, every man who becomes rich by competition throws down behind him the ladder by which he rises and keeps others down. But every man who gets rich by creation opens a way for thousands to follow him and inspires them to do so. So it is with us as we go out there and grow our businesses. The only way I can grow my business is if I can break executives and break nationals and break other presidentials in my organization. So it's a win-win-win-win scenario. And that's how you want to look at your life. You're walking this life. You're walking this creative process of I only win when others win. And I want everyone in my organization to win more than I win. When I win, they win. When they win, I win. It's a perfect scenario, right? So we're out there building the perfect scenario of like being in a creation mode, a creation modality. Moral and spiritual greatness is possible only to those who are above the competitive battle for existence. Does that not highlight to us the importance of finding those who have not and helping them instead of continuing to compete to just stay alive? That struggle for just the struggle for life instead of leading a fulfilling life, right? That's what we are about, is to enable and empower people to get to that point in their lives. Man can only achieve this by sincere gratitude for everything that comes his way to remain in harmony with God. And I think this is absolutely true. This gratitude plays a gigantic role in every aspect of our life. It also ties back to Vince Pacenti. Remember when we talked about Vince saying, keep your vision and your statement. This is my vision. My vision is to be presidential by December 2013. Okay, maybe that's your vision, or your vision is to be presidential by December 2014, or your vision is to build 12 churches in Brazil. Whatever your vision is, whether it's totally related to Manatech right now, because you know what you're going to then do with the finances that you get, or it's related to some specific financial endeavor, it's related to some specific act, whatever it is, you keep that focus. But instead of just saying, I am, you say, thank you, Lord, or I have such gratitude for being presidential director in December 2013. Come from that heart of gratitude, because gratitude needs to be deep and continuous in us. The law of gratitude is the natural principle that action and reaction are always equal and in opposite directions. As you give, so shall you receive. As you sow, so shall you reap. You can go on and on and on. This is always about the law of gratitude. It's about giving and receiving and giving and receiving. Action creates reaction, right? And that's what we do. We want to be out there. There's thinking stuff from which all things are made. Going back to that again, all things are made in which an original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the inner space of the universe. Keep that premise always evident, our thinking and how powerful that thinking is. Man must form a clear and definite mental image of the things he wishes to have, to do, to become, and he must hold this mental image in his thoughts. And this is another thing that came out of the book. He said, all forms that man fashions with his hands must first exist in thought. And I immediately related back as I was reading this book. I don't know how many of you guys do this, but I love it. I'm on my iPad reading books, and I get to hit a button. I make a note in the margin and highlight things. I mean, it is made a it's because I don't read a book without highlighting notes. I mean, you should see the books I read. Most people go, Mary Jo, I'd love to borrow your book, but you already have everything like in the margins filled, right? But when I read that part in the book, I said to myself, oh, my gosh, that's Stephen Covey. Everything is created twice. In Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he talks about the concept of everything is created twice. First, it's created in our mind, right? And that's exactly what they're saying, a clear and definite mental image. So your presidential directorship is created in your mind first before you create it. It's created in your mind. Behind your vision must be your purpose, your why, and behind the why is an invincible and unwavering faith that the thing is already yours. So that's why even with Vince Pacenti, you talked about have gratitude for already having it. Keep that vision clear in your mind. Keep it a dominant thought. Keep those yellow dots forever present and reminders of you of what you're going to create, and it will be created. It happens over and over again. For those of us that have done it in our life over and over again, we are absolute total believers, total believers. What allowed me to be a lawyer in my life was because I saw myself as a lawyer in my life. I mean, I started this process way back. What allowed me win, all the elections I won, because I visualized myself winning. I mean, I visualized the results. I visualized what I was going to create. So visualize what you're going to create and keep that the focus. Never permit your mind to dwell on dissatisfaction or you'll lose ground. You know, I really believe this is an area where we fall short. I believe today, In Manatech, I believe there's still some of us out in the field that are sitting back in discouragement, perhaps from the Texas AG. I don't even want to use those words because it's crazy. It's been so many years that how we can go victim to that and go victim and stay in the victimhood and stay in the dissatisfaction or discouragement. Stop it. Let it go. You've got to release that. If you permit your mind to dwell on it, if you're going to create it, remember the power of that mind. You're going to let your mind dwell in discouragement. It's going to fill up, and you'll never fill up on encouragement. You'll never be encouraged to move forward. You're allowing it to rob you. So release it from your mind. And in order to release it from your mind, where else it has to be released from? Your voice, your words speak unbelievable truths in your life. So stop talking about it, but stop thinking. Get it out of your mind. To dwell on inferior is to become inferior. Put poverty and all that surrounds it behind you. Read only the most optimistic. This is huge, people, this concept. Underline this one 10 times. Highlight it. Circle it. It says, read only the most optimistic comments on the world's news. Oh, my gosh, how many of you get caught up in this? I started looking at this and I kept thinking, it's amazing our country can go backwards so fast. Like even when you get into when you talk about a political race, you know, if you look at all the negativity that's spewed out, and there's still so much negativity coming out, and I keep saying to people, stay away from it like it's poison to you. It's like poison to you. We absorb this stuff and we want to spew it. We want to be angry. We want to be mad. And it's like, how is that working for you? We all are upset about things that might happen around us and things that we don't think are right, and we can take action. But for us to dwell on it and read about it and focus on it and be angry and carry negative thoughts, negative emotions. What does the Lord say about negative emotions scripturally? Boy, it's credible. So we want to be really clear. Read only the most optimistic. This is when he talks about people who get rich live their life in a certain way. This is part of the certain way people. So put a huge asterisk, because I know a lot of you, that one, the mind dwelling on dissatisfaction, that one, these are points that you're going to outline. When you get done with this call today, you ought to sit down and make a list of things you're not going to do ever again and things you're going to do. Here's my certain way. Get your understanding of the certain way and choose. You can go a different direction. Just a choice. It's all choice. Timing, the more steady and continuous your faith and purpose, the more rapidly you reach your wealth. So there's no question that's true, too. We can stumble along and go backwards. You know, we can take 3 steps forward and go 5 back. Do you ever feel that sometimes you do that? Right. You fall back in the old ways because patterning is very hard to break, isn't it? No, don't say that. I don't want you to have that thought. I want you to say patterning is easy to break and I'm breaking it. And I want you to dive into it and break it. Break the bad pattern. Creative energy works through established channels of natural growth and of the industrial and social order. So everything around us, creative energy, works. And it strives through it. If a man follows the above, the result will be created by ways of established trade and commerce. So it's not about creating a new order of things or new. Our current industrial and social order will create incredible energy. Creative energy works. It thrives. How do I know it thrives? Because we create new millionaires every day in this world. So it's thriving. Creative energy is working effectively. We can create it. You may not have created it, but it's there. It is created. It's in our current social industrial order. Creative energy works, thrives. Okay, so that which makes you want more money is the same as that which makes the plant grow. It is life seeking fuller expression. And look at it that, life-seeking fuller expression. Some of my friends in the bridge world, they know I like to play bridge, and I'm a good bridge player, right? And I just went to the National to play for 2 days in March, and people are going, when are you going to retire? I have a bridge partner that desperately wants to start playing with me again all the time. He goes, when are you going to retire, Mary Jo? Clearly you have enough money. And I looked at him, and I said, are you kidding? I said, the possibilities out there of what is laid on my heart are endless. And so how can I give my life to frivolity? I can use bridge as a hobby that I do on my free time. But never could I see myself giving away the opportunities God's put in front of me through Manatech to create endless streams of income, to be able to build churches in Brazil and now go into Kenya and go into other places. And I even have some people around the country that have asked me to do some things for them. And it's endless. It's endless. So I don't see that. Now, that doesn't make anyone wrong who retires. It just means if you choose to retire, how are you using your positive thoughts to continue to create greatness and tap into this incredible energy of what makes that plant grow. What makes that plant grow is the same energy that makes your bank account grow, that same energy that makes you grow as a person. It's all that energy, right? So tap into all that and seek to have a fuller expression in your life. Man must be active. Act in a certain way. Okay, now this is your action part, right? Action. Man must be active. So those of you on the couch, couch potatoes. Okay, no, anyway, it's more than that, but I want to hit home for people that live an inactive life, and that doesn't mean, you know, I know some people saw me over the weekend, and they go, I don't know where you get your energy, Mary Jo. That doesn't mean you have to look at Mary Jo and say, I want to be as energetic as I am, because that's, a lot of that is health, and it's about, you know, our makeup, our genetic makeup, our health, where we are in life. But we all have energy, and we all can be active. Okay? We need to act in a certain way. By thought, the thing you want is brought to you. By action, you receive it. So imagine that you can sit back, you think, oh, I'm going to lay on my couch and have a dominant thought. Presidential director by December 2013, or 12 churches in Brazil by December 2014. I can focus on that. And if I'm laying on my couch, I can have a continuous focus on that. Will it create itself? Well, if to think is to create, it should create itself, right? But remember, it takes action to receive it. So we need to act. The activity must consist in more than filling your present place. In other words, don't just live your life, not even one activity, by just getting by. How many of us do things just to get by? Oh, I have to do this. Well, if I just do it this, this, and this, that'll qualify. How many of us do things to just get by? And it could be something you do for your church. It could be something you do for your community. It could be something you do for Manatech. What are we doing to just get by? And trust me, I fall in this trap from time to time. When I'm so busy, sometimes I go, whoa, stop it. I have to stop myself because I want to do everything to the best of my ability. So don't just do things to get by. Activity must consist in more than filling his present place. That's what that says. Man must do all he can do each day, taking care to each activity in a successful manner. How many of us do that? Circle that. Put that on your certain way chart. My certain way. If I behave in a certain way, I act in a certain way, I think in a certain way, I will be rich. Do all you can in a perfect manner every day. Now, perfect here, you know, I want to circle that word because it doesn't mean that you wait until you're absolutely perfect. It means do it the best of your current ability where you are, right? In every day, but do it without haste, worry, or fear. Notice that. Highlight this, people, on your outline. It's huge. Because you know what? When you do things with haste, and you do it with worry, and you do it with fear, that's when you start being a competitor and cease being a creator. I want you to highlight that on the outline. I want you to think through and work through that in your life. You cease being a creator, and you start becoming a competitor when you do it with haste, worry, or fear. So there's no place for those things in your life. Put your whole mind on present actions, not the future, or you will act with a divided mind. In other words, focus on today. Focus in the moment. What's another thing that causes us divided minds? When we start thinking about our past, we start going back into our past, there's no room for that either. None. None. We focus on the moment. What can we create in this moment? We become creators in the moment. One thing we can control is what we do in this moment. We can't create what happened in the past that's long gone. Our past does not control our future. It doesn't impact our future unless you choose to allow it to. So choose not and step into creator. Step in this moment, create this moment. He must give to every man a use value in excess of the cash value he receives so that each transaction makes for more life. That is giving more than you receive. Always be in the increase mode. Increase mode. Through this process, the impression of increase will be communicated to all with whom you come in contact with. So as you go out there, you want people to perceive you as, wow, I want to hang around with that person because when I'm around her, I always feel better, or it always creates something great in my life, or there's always something positive that happens. You want to be that person. You want to be, that becomes an attractor factor in our world. If you walk around Earth and you're not smiling, can you ever be in this mode? No, because the minute you walk out in our environment and there's not a smile, you're not joyful, you're not exemplifying Christ-like, what happens is people look at you and you're not contributing to them. I can contribute to anybody and everybody in my environment by just smiling because they're going, wow, you know, it might bring joy, it might bring something to their life that they can believe they can be different. It was one of the reasons I couldn't last too long in New York City. I lived there for a year, and it was hard for me because no one, not only did it, I still smile when I walked up and down the streets in New York and Fifth Avenue and whatever, but you know what? It was, who makes eye contact with you there? Like, nobody, right? It's a really incredible town, but they're just so determined and directed, and it was a little bit of a coal town. I'm not saying it's there today, but I suggest that's where it was in the past, and there are many, many articles and write-ups about that same aspect of New York City. We want to increase. We want to be call yourself Dr. Increase. There's a great guy out there that I think he's passed away, the fellow that did all the seminars, and I'm not sure. I don't remember his name. What's his name? No, the guy in Hawaii. I'm asking Lydia, the one that Clemmer Eyes went to. He was from Oklahoma, I think.
Oh, no, yeah.
Dr. Harrison. Yes, Dr. Increase. I think, didn't they call himself Dr. Increase?
Yeah.
I believe that's Dr. Increase. He's an awesome guy. But he called himself Dr. Increase, and now I really relate. So I get that, because it's all about increase. You can help others more by making the most of yourself than in any other way. Circle that. Certain way. You can help others by making the most of yourself more than any other way. So that means we need to work on self. Make the most of self. Be the best we can be, and that will have more impact on this world than any other way. Man must act now upon the people and the things in his present environment. It's about now. It's not about waiting. And this ties into Tony Jerry when he talks about, don't wait till everything's perfect, right? Do it now. Act now. Do every day all that can be done that day. It is really not the number of things you do, but the efficiency of each separate action that counts. Failure is doing too many things in an inefficient manner. Efficiency breeds power. Efficiency is power. Impress others that they will feel that in associating with you, they will get increase from themselves. The desire to rule for, this is great. Highlight this. The desire to rule for selfish gratification has become the curse of the world. I think there's a lot to be said for that. Focus on others, and that's very scriptural, as we all know. What I want for myself, because, you know, when we talk about scripture, we talk about, you know, we love God and we put God before all else, right? But it's like, love thy neighbor as thyself. It's about love others. That is what that is inherently. Those are the most important commandments that he's given us. Love others as thyself. It's about, you know, not selfish gratifications, but how do I love others as myself? That means giving, giving, giving. It means Dr. Increase, right? What I want for myself, I want for others. Love others as myself. And nothing better than network marketing, right? Because what do we do in network marketing? We get to executive. When we get to executive, what do? We go back and we look at our nationals and we go, come on, nationals, come on up to executive. I want all of you guys to get to executive director. When we get to presidential, what do? Hey, come on, executives, let's get up to presidential. We keep moving our executives up to presidential, right? I mean, it's just a natural progression. When we get to regional, we help our people get to regional. Then that makes us national. When we get to national, we help our other people get to national. That helps get to it's just a wonderful progression. What I want for myself, I want for other people. And finally, guard your speech. Never talk to yourself, your affairs, or anything else in a discouraged or discouraging way. Okay? Always positive language. Because what you language is what you're thinking. What you're thinking is what you're creating. So we don't speak words in our head, in our thoughts. What comes out of our mouth comes from our head. So anytime you're speaking garbage, it's garbage in your head that's coming out. So you got to change that speech. Guard that speech. Don't concern yourself with obstacles. Focus on doing the most you can each day in the most efficient way. And what happens to the obstacles? They'll fall by the wayside. We go, oh, my gosh, this is, the people around me think this. Oh, woe is me. Get out of the mode. Focus on what you can do and the most you can do each day in the most efficient way. Never allow discouragement to enter. Quash it like a bug. And that means don't talk about times as being hard. No more Texas AG. No more I can't give live testimonials about saving people's lives from disease conditions because, personally, I don't ever want to do that. Because this is not a product about one drug, one disease. This is a product that impacts the entirety of the human body. Right? The entirety of the human body. That's why I can stand here today at almost 59 and I get my test results, my 12-page report on my blood work that was done, and there was not one bad number That's not one drug, one disease. That's about overall total body wellness, right? Total body wellness. So, but never speak of time being hard or of business conditions as being doubtful. Never. That language only exists for those on a competitive plane. And remember, we are coming from creative. We are not competitive, we're creative. The wealth to be received will be in exact proportion to the definiteness of their visions, their fixity on their purpose, the steadiness of their faith, and the depth of their gratitude. Great stuff. Okay, guys, hope you enjoyed it. Did this help anyone on the call? I know we're running a little over. Anybody on the call, did something hit home for you on this? Was this helpful? Maybe I could build a document that's called The Certain Way and isolate all these principles on one page. That might help people. Maybe I'll do that and post it on the website. Because I think there's a lot of things in here I had you highlight as we read through them. Some of you said, wow, that's not what my life looks like today. How can I be better? Some of you might say, that's not possible. I'm going to suggest it is. But if you think it's not possible, you know what? You're also going to be right for you.
Mary Jo.
Yes, Anita.
I'm home. But anyway.
Yahoo! Yes. Welcome home, doll.
I thought this was excellent. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome, sweetie. Thanks. Glad you are listening in. Wonderful. And I'll see you at Manifest. Woohoo! Oh. Anyone else? Okay, group. Good.
Hey,
all right. Chew on it. Yep.
Paul here. Thank you very much. That was a great call. I think the thing that stood out to me more than anything was the last page there, where you said, "Do every day all that can be done that day."
Right.
And Father, in a paragraph, failure is doing too many things in an inefficient manner.
Yeah.
And that is so true in this business.
Yeah, isn't it? We try to do so much and we put all this outline and then we go do all this stuff and it's like, wait a minute, that really, number one, it's not serving me, it's not creating results, it's not, you know, it's not high leverage activities and we half do it. And I mean, we get caught up in doing instead of saying, hey, let's look at and schedule and let's do as much as we can do in a given day, but do it effectively, efficiently. Amen. Thanks,
well,
Paul.
It's very easy in this business to be busy without being productive.
Absolutely. Unquestionably. It's probably our greatest curse in this business. No doubt about it. Yeah. Thank you for your insight. That's good. I'm sure it hit home with lots of people out there. Great. Okay, everybody. Love you all. Have a great week. And we're getting closer and closer to Manifest, and I can't wait. And next week, we'll have another great call. Love you and talk to you. And don't forget, last week of the business period, so do what you need to do to make sure things happen. And I can't wait to, again, see you guys all at Manifest. Bye, everybody.